you can Google that song after church, and it's called "I Know," and man, the words are just powerful. And the song goes like this: "You don't answer all my questions, but you hear me when I speak. You don't keep my heart from breaking, but when it does, you weep with me. You're so close that I can feel you when I've lost the words to pray. And though my eyes have never seen you, I've seen enough to say, I know. I know that you are good. I know that you are kind. I know that you are so much more than what I leave behind. I know that I'm loved and I know that I'm safe. 'Cause even in the fire, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I know that you are good." Powerful words, aren't they? Really, the big problem today is people, they claim to know Jesus, but they really don't know Him intimately. They don't, and their lives are a mess. They're depressed, and they have so much anxiety and so much burdens that they carry along, and they don't know where to turn because they do not have a relationship with the Lord. And you know, when we receive Christ, we become a dwelling place for Jesus. He lives within us. But the problem is, with most people, they've just given Him a spare bedroom in their life. He's just in a spare room. And they've not given Him all of their dwelling place, the keys to the whole place. And I want you to know this morning that the church was God's idea, not man's idea. Okay? It was God's idea. Not a place of entertainment, not a production or a theater. The church is a place of worship, a place of discipleship, a place of learning, and a place of fellowship with people of like mind. We come together here. Everybody believes in Jesus here this morning, right? Or you wouldn't be here, right? Most likely, right? We believe in Jesus. We believe in the one who can. We have that like-mindedness, right? We come together, unified as one body, praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not man's idea. It's not a social club. It's a place that God, when His people come together, man, it's powerful. When God's people come together, it's powerful. Things happen. Lives get changed. Things are better. When Paul fully grasped the gospel, see, his gospel was man-made gospel before. Man-made rules, man-made religion, right? He was zealous for that. But man, when he had that Damascus Road experience, when the gospel became real in his life and he grasped it, and his relationship with the Lord everything changed for him, didn't it? His life changed forever. And when you come to church to receive from the Lord and give back to the Lord, right? That's why we come. With the conversation with the Lord and God's people. You cannot undo Jesus. Okay? You can't undo Jesus. And this world today tells you can. This world today is trying to kind of wipe the slate of anything that has to do with Jesus. Our moral values. They want to kind of obscure that. They want to, you know, so we see these things happening. And I hope that we can come together, and we can't pretend that we never knew Jesus, can we? Every one of us has a testimony about what Jesus did for you in your life. I my testimony, Jesus saved me, man. I'm telling you. I had an experience with Jesus right here at this altar, right here. I've had many experiences after that, but my experience with Jesus right here at this altar changed my life. Amen? I can't undo Jesus in my life. I can turn my back on Him. I can try to shut Him out. I can walk away from Him, but I can't undo what Jesus has done. Does that make sense? And I can't deny that. What I had was real. Amen?
Amen.
I haven't seen God. But that's real, what I experienced. That's real, what I experienced this morning. Those times are real. God changes lives. He transforms people into what they were, into a new creation, to what they can become, into the way God actually designed us to be. I can walk with Jesus and be overwhelmed. Sometimes we go through the desert times, and sometimes we have tough times. I'm not saying that. Man, I go through times like that. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with things. Sometimes I'm challenged. And I have situations and circumstances and personal hurts. And sometimes I even feel moments of selfishness and that blind me with my relationship with Jesus. That's humanity. That's who we all. We all have that in our life at times. But I pray, Father, today we look to Him in those moments, right? I continue to walk with Him, and He helps me through those times. I want to look at some scripture in 2 Timothy today, and I hope that the Lord helps us to receive it and understand what He meant to Timothy. It's a familiar scripture. I know I've preached it before, but 2 Timothy 1:3-14, it says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience as night and day, I have constantly remembered you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. I love this. Love. And self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me in prison, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has not saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, and guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, clear our minds, so we may receive your word today. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I know I've got some good encouragers that I've talked about this many times. The DS, every Sunday morning, sends me a message. Every Sunday morning. A message of encouragement. Just to say, hey, I'm praying for you today. May God bless you today. You know, bless your church. He sends me those messages like clockwork. There's somebody else that calls me about every other day. And it doesn't bug me. It doesn't bother me. It encourages me. And I want to thank him for that. Can I do that out loud? Because it's Leonard. I appreciate that, Leonard. I've said that before, but I want you to know that I appreciate that. And that's something to celebrate, because Leonard encourages me. He really does, just by phone call. We need that encouragement. We need to be encouraging each other in every way that we can. And sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's just a text message even. And I know, but a text message, let me tell you, it really helps when, and I've got a few people there. I had somebody send me a text today, and they thought I was having foot surgery this week, which it was scheduled for next week, but actually it's been postponed. Okay? But the point is they sent me a message saying, hey, I'm praying for you today. I just want you to know that. I've been praying for you all day, and I hope things go well for you. That's all it was said. Of course, I had to explain to them that it wasn't yesterday, or Friday, in other words. But that meant a lot to me. That meant a lot to me. And so I encourage you to encourage others, and encouragement is contagious. Man, when somebody encourages me, it's like, you know what? I need to send this person a message. Or I need to call this person. Or maybe I'll stop by and see somebody. And you know, it really, really is contagious. And once you give some encouragement, you want to give some more encouragement. And once you receive some, it energizes you to get through those tough times in your life. You know, there's two things that I want to look at this morning. And one of them is defining sincere faith. Can you define your faith? And guarding what has been given you from the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's important. We got to guard our hearts. We got to guard what God has given us. It's precious. It's a precious gift. And so he says that in verse 5. He said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. He says that. And I think that everything said here for encouragement hangs on those two observations right here in this whole scripture. He starts by saying that faith was in his grandmother and his mother, and that's good. That's a good place to start. We train up our kids. But sincere faith is not what somebody else has. It's what you have. It's your faith. It's your salvation. It's not what somebody else has. It's not something you inherited from your mom and dad or from your church family. You've been taught that God is real, right? But you have to receive it into your life that God is real. And that faith becomes sincere faith, because then you know, just like the day I got saved. I was raised in church. I've heard about God all my life. But I had never received God into my life until the day I got saved. And then things changed. God became real in my life. Then there was sincerity in that. He says that he thanks God day and night as he remembers Timothy in prayer. You know, we got people around here that pray. We pray for each other, don't we? Yeah. And some people, I went out and visited with Brother Keeley the other day, and Friday it was. And we had a great conversation, a great visit. And you know, he's got a list. It's really long. And I commend him for it, because he prays a lot. And I'm so glad that he does. Man, I'm so glad that he prays. And he's got this list that he's developed over the years, and he just keeps adding people to it. And he just prays over that list of people. He calls them out by name. He goes through every name on that list. I'm praying for you. I pray for you. I pray for all of you every day. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not praying for you guys. And I hope you're praying for me too. I hope you're praying for everybody in our church family. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you have a list that you're praying for. And I know we got specific needs like Rose and Pat and those that are just really, you know, they really need a touch from God right now. We got those on our mind too, but there's other people dealing with anxiety and depression and work troubles and stress, and you know, stress is a killer too. And let me tell you, they need prayer just as much. They do. We all need it, don't we? That's my point. But let's take a minute and think about faith. Let's think about faith. What is the difference between faith and sincere faith? Can you think about that this morning? And what some people say about faith, and more important, what they talk about in faith. And I get to listen to a lot of, and I'm sure you guys do too, what people say. What some people, they think faith is a feeling. And some people is just something that they believe, and it has nothing to back it up. You know, if faith is just a feeling, what's there to back it up? And I hear all kinds of definitions of faith, and I think most don't pass the litmus test, I guess you could say, but they don't have merit because they don't have support behind it. Can you support your faith, is what I'm trying to say. If somebody asks you, what's your faith in? How do you support that faith? Faith in a... You know, we can have faith in a chair, right? How many of you doubted that the chair you sat in right here today was not going to hold you up, right? I doubt if anybody thought, well, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me up. You just sat down in it, right? So you had a little bit of faith in a chair because it holds people up, and that's how it was backed up. But a faith in something that... it cannot be backed up as a belief, and beliefs are generic, and they can be in anything. Does that make sense? I mean, there's people who believe in Bigfoot. Never seen him. They believe Bigfoot's real. They even made a program. There's a program out there of finding Bigfoot. There's people out there that spend all their weekends looking for Bigfoot. Yeah, they got a game. Finding Bigfoot. Yeah. But see, there's those characteristics of a worldly beliefs or worldly believers. And worldly faith lacks intimacy with God. And worldly faith lacks generosity in their offerings to God. And worldly faith, they have comprised morals, especially when pressured. Their morals are tested. They don't know what they believe half the time, and worldly faith lacks spiritual influence in their life. And I think worldly faith lacks a key character, and it lacks the transformation of life, that transform life change that comes from having an encounter with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us that are here this morning that's had an encounter with Jesus, let me tell you, your life's different. Amen?
Amen.
Man, that's something I can testify to, right?
Yeah.
Your life is different because you had an encounter with Jesus. If Bigfoot was real and you had an encounter with him, your life would probably be different too. But we know that's not real, right? I could say a lot more about that, but I won't. Why do we believe that? Because we know, it's not just we believe in it, we know that Jesus is all-powerful. We know that Jesus is ever-present. And we know that Jesus knows everything. We know that Jesus is sovereign. We know that Jesus is holy. And we know that Jesus is the absolute truth. Any doubt in that this morning? Amen? Amen. No doubt in that, right? That's why he says this in John 8, 31 and 32. You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know it. Paul tells Timothy here that it is good that your grandmother and your mother were believers, but the faith of others is not your faith. I find it hard to understand why there are people out there that say they know Jesus, but yet can't share their faith with somebody. They have a tough time testifying to the experience that they've had with Jesus. And you know, it's either they don't know what they believe, or they're not able to share their faith because it really doesn't exist. And when you ask why they believe in Christianity, or why is Jesus the only way to salvation, they can't out answer the question. You guys are really quiet today. I hope you're thinking. I hope this really makes you think. Some people say that that's how they were raised to believe. And I know that holds true merit. You know, how we were raised in the denomination that we were raised in, it affects us in our life. It does. It affects who we are. The church I grew up in affected me as a young man. Some of those things still, some of those things still hold in my life today. All in all, we have to just set all those doctrinal views, all those denominational, those man-made rules, all that stuff, all how we were raised, we have to set all that aside and just, okay, what do I really believe? Do I believe that God is real? Do I really believe that God sent His only Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins? Do I really believe that? That's what's most important. And when you can make that decision within your life, all else changes in your life. All else changes. That's the most important thing, is to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death brings salvation to humanity, and the resurrection brings new life and new birth. Amen? Just as Christ died, we're dead to our sins. And just as Christ was risen, we're risen in a new life and into His. We are His. Amen?
Amen.
We're risen with Christ into a new life. It's not this world that we live in. This world we live in is temporary. And people go around acting like, and even people within churches, they go around acting like, this is it. This is it. I got to get all I can out of this world because this is it. And let me tell you, this is not it. This is not our home. I don't feel comfortable here. I don't feel comfortable. I feel out of place. And I struggled with that for a while. I was like, why do I feel so out of place here? It's not my home. I understand that. Why do I have a problem with people that are sinful? And why does it make me uncomfortable to be around that? Because it's not my home. I don't live here in this. I mean, my residence is in heaven. Right? One day, I mean, I don't want to get off in the bushes too much. There is evidence and a reason and a fact that is a documented truth that Jesus did what He came to do in this world and to do, and that was to redeem those that put their faith in the accomplished works of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. Our God is absolute truth. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is absolute truth. And it is impossible for Him to be otherwise. God is the source of all truth, and our God, who is present everywhere and knows all things, has total understanding of what is real, and what is true, and what is right. He has total understanding of all of that, and what is completely accurate. Whatever God says is absolutely right. This world rejects that. We live in a fairy tale society that they think that. Wow. I think you guys know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's craziness, right? We think. It's craziness. And they reject what is real and what is true. God wants us to know the truth. And Jesus prayed to the disciples, asking God, sanctify them. In John 17, 17, He says this, sanctify them by the truth. His word is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
His word is the truth. The Bible helps us know and understand the truth about Him and about ourselves and about life. We should be reading and studying our Bible every day, and I encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
Get into His Word. There's all kinds. If you don't like to read, get it. There's Bible apps. You can listen to the Scripture. Somebody will read it to you. I mean, there's no excuse, really. God also manifested truth in us in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John 14, 6. There's a lot of people that claim to know the truth, but only Jesus could honestly claim to be the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I think God also guides us into truth through the working of His Holy Spirit. That's why I said, I hope that you're praying and asking the Holy Spirit to change things in your life, to intervene in your life. Did you ever just pray for the Holy Spirit? Just speak to me. Just speak to me what you want me to hear. I'm not going to dictate to the Holy Spirit what I want, because that's what we tend to do. God, I need this. God, help me out of this. God, I want this. I want this. I want that. Instead of saying, God, Holy Spirit, tell me what You want.
Amen.
What do You want for me in my life? What do You want me to do? Say. I would hope as a church that we could be that people. We could be that people to rely so much on the Holy Spirit that we know He... Our decisions, our lifestyle should demonstrate exactly that. People should know that we are Jesus, we belong to Jesus. He said, people around you will know, they'll know that you belong to me. Who can finish that? They'll know you belong to me. Why? Because you love each other and you love me. How much you love each other. Everybody I talk to, and I'm telling you this, people, even people that know God, they say they know God, they believe in God, I'll put it that way. They believe in God, but they don't go to church anywhere. The biggest indifference that they have is what they have witnessed with people in the church. And they don't want to be a part of that because of what they saw. and witness. Now, I'm just speaking the truth, because it's not just one person said that and okay. Oh, it's I hear it over and over and over and over again. You know that the average lifespan, now this is not just a Nazarene thing. This is actually a church thing across the board, every denomination. The average lifespan of a church in a small community is 70 years. And they die. And it's because of the indifferences that have happened in the church community. And every church in this community has a story to say. They'll hear the same thing. And we know, we've seen cycles of things happen at churches. People get hurt. They do. It's sad reality, but I'm just telling the truth this morning. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying that's what the community sees outside the church. And we have to be better than that, is what I'm trying to say. We have to try to strive to be people who are loving and forgiving and strive for that. That's what we have to be. That's what Christ called us to be. Hanging on the cross there after he'd been beat. How many of us could look at the people down below and say, Father, forgive them. I love them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many of us could do that? How many of us could take it and not retaliate? I mean, I'll tell you what, it'd be hard for me to take a beating from somebody and not want to fight back or not want to hate that person or not like that person because they did what they did or said something. But so many times, I won't go into all that. I'm going to quit. We come to church to receive from the Lord and we give back to the Lord. That's why we come. Because we've had a Damascus Road experience with Jesus in some way, and all of our stories are different. One that we cannot deny. I pray, what's your story? What's your story? I love to hear testimonies. God is an anchor of truth in a society of falsehood. Remember that. Our decisions and our lifestyle should demonstrate. We can't buy into the lies of the popular culture either. We've got to be consistently spending time and discovering the truth in God's Word. And truth will be found only in those who are diligently seeking God and seeking the Holy Spirit to speak to them. And I'm praying that we would be a people who would commit ourselves daily as Paul did. I die daily to Christ. I die daily. I get up and I die out so that I can live for Him. Because when I live for Him, if I die today, hey, I've gained it all. Right? If I live for Him, I'm still going to gain it all because I'm living for Him. And Paul, that's why he's telling Timothy here, and I'm going to hurry up here. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am now persuaded lives in you also, because he knew how Timothy lived his life. What he believed. Sincere faith, number one and number two, found there in verse 13 and 14. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching and with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good. Deposit that which was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Timothy was told to hold on to the sound doctrine. because he was dealing with a bunch of false teachers in his church. He said, hold on to the sound doctrine. Don't buy into all that falsity. Man, there's a lot of false stuff going on in this world today. Amen. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. Paul calls it a deposit. Put it into his account. It's secured. Right? We want to protect it. Timothy could follow Christ because... Or Timothy could follow Paul because Paul followed Christ. He could trust him. Right? He said, take it like a deposit in a bank and keep it safe. And he told it to guard it by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit, we got to remember, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we've ever been given. We couldn't live in this world without the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. It's the greatest gift ever. That's why he said what he said before he ascended. He said, I got to go, but you can't go with me. He said, I have to go, or the Holy Spirit can't come. Because you're going to do greater things than I ever did. Man, isn't that a powerful statement to say that? Why Paul tells Timothy to fan into flames the gift of God? Let me tell you, we can all become complacent in our spiritual walk with Christ. And that, let me tell you, it can be contagious. Complacency can kill your spiritual life, and it can kill a church too. We got to fan in the flames of what God has gifted us. Amen?
Amen?
Fan it in the flames. What's that mean? That's going to take some effort, man. We need to be reading and studying and praying. We need to be a people that don't just pray. We need to be a praying people. Amen?
Amen.
Praying together. It shouldn't be awkward for us to pray together. Amen? I know I'm preaching a little longer than normal. I'm usually not a long-winded preacher because I always remember Paul was long-winded and he killed somebody. Remember that? Young man fell out of a window. And at least Paul had the power to bring him back to life. I mean, I know that the Lord can save someone anywhere. I know it. He can save people anywhere. I know that the Lord can save. But Paul is saying to young Timothy to fan into flames the power of the Holy Spirit that came to him by the laying on of his hands. And it's not Paul that did it. It's the power of God within him. And there's a special blessing as God's people react to the Spirit when the Spirit of God starts speaking and moving within a church. Amen? Fanning the flames. Man, I've seen some powerful moments happen in this church before. When I was a young man, young married, me and my wife, growing, you know. Man, I've seen some powerful things happen. I've seen some special blessings happen. Not just in this church, but in many. It wasn't because of complacency, was it? It was because the desire was there for God. The desire was there for God to do something amazing. And I hope that we can pray. We can go home today and we can pray this week. I hope that you come back tonight. But most importantly, I hope that you pray. I hope that you pray that God does amazing things with the people in this church. Because when God does amazing things with the people in this church, the people in this church will do amazing things for God. Lives will get changed and people will get saved and things will change. But it takes us to fan the flames of our own being. Like the song I know that I talked about earlier. God is so good. He sees us and He wants so much more than what we've been experiencing. Amen. He wants so much more from us. D.L. Moody said this one time. He said that the world has not seen what one man can do with the power of God working in his life. He said that he wanted to be that man. Amen.
Amen.
You want to be that person, that lady, that woman, I could say that feller, that fellette. Redneck terms. You know, I'm redneck by heart. I can't help it. It's in there. Yeah. It's just the way I was raised, right? My dad always told me, he said, don't say words you can't spell. I didn't talk till I was about 10. I'm joking. I hope that you're willing to let the Lord empower you by the Spirit and do things not in your own strength, but in the power of God. That's what we pray. Lives will be changed. The Word will be revealed to people by the power of God that lives within you. It's not you. It's the one who lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He can take your... some conversations you think, man, that was the most awkward thing. I don't know. But even just our actions sometimes can bring somebody to think about God. And then the Holy Spirit does its work. I want to say something. Trey, you mind if I say something about you? Yesterday, Trey went with me yesterday, and we went up and to Team Day, and I appreciate Trey going with me. We had a good visit up and back. We were up there. Trey said, you know, he said, I don't know what to do, but I know I need to do something. And he said, can I drive the bus or something? I said, well, yeah. I said, absolutely. He said, because I'd like to do that, if I can do that. And I said, well, all we got to do is go to the DMV. So I hope that we can get time Tuesday or Wednesday, when Trey has time, he's not working, we go to the DMV and get his license for the bus. Amen?
Amen.
That's all it takes. I appreciate that so much. It just blessed me. I thought about that. Probably I couldn't sleep last night. Because I was so excited about what Trey just like, his willingness. I just want to drive the bus. Whatever it takes. Maybe I'll just get one person. Maybe you'll get 50 kids out. You know, I don't know. I'm praying for God to use Trey. Amen.
Amen.
And I know God is using Trey. I know he's going to get up and preach one of these days.
Amen.
I know he laughs about it, but Trey's got a testimony to share. God's going to do amazing things. I know Brian's sincere faith. I know the sincere faith of Trey. That faith that lives in Brian. You see the connection? And now lives in him. I'm convinced of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know you're going to do amazing things. Lord, help us today. Lord, as we open up our hearts and our ears to listen, Lord, help us. Help us to hear. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you and praise you for what you did. But we just know that there's going to be amazing things happen, Lord. So, Lord, let us be listening this week and praying. Lord, put somebody in our life to invest in that we might share the gospel and lead closer to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.